Across the country, high school students are getting ready to race robots. The national robotics competition, known as FIRST, gets underway this week in Orlando, Florida, and 600 mechanical contraptions made by students are ready to compete. The game this year is a frantic version of two-on-two robot basketball with 60 balls and several large baskets. But the toughest part of the competition is simply finishing the robots on time. NPR's Robert Smith has been following the robot team at Roosevelt High School in Seattle.
Forget football. You haven't felt real adrenaline until you've seen robots go metal to metal. The roar of oil lust is in the crowd this afternoon at the University of Washington Arena, and this is just the regional competition. There are two robots on each side of a tennis-sized court, and behind the controls, three Roosevelt High School students. Their robot, the Tsunami, looks tall and wobbly next to the squat metal boxes of their opponents, but the Roosevelt team has a trick or two ready for competition.
One, two, three, go!
The Tsunami totters and then crashes to the ground. But that is precisely what the robot was designed to do. This battle plan was hatched months ago in a bunker-like room in the basement of the University of Washington. This is one of the first meetings of the Roosevelt High School Robot Club, or as they like to be called, the SWAT team.
It's an acronym. It's students working against time.
Warren Sent, a shaggy-headed kid in t-shirt and khakis, says time is the enemy. There's only 6 weeks to build the robot. And for Warren, this is his first taste of real competition.
I'm not really in any sports teams or anything, but it's the first thing that I've really been in a team, and it's a lot of fun. I heard about it from a lot of my friends in our computer class.
The robot team has definitely attracted the computer crowd. The 30 students quiet down as a stern-faced man with wire-rimmed glasses moves to the front of the room. The Electrical Engineering Department at the University of Washington has offered to mentor the Roosevelt robot team. Professor Alex Mamashev will be their general.
This is not about just bolts and nuts, okay? Especially not in the first week. We need heavy analysis, heavy critical analysis of what needs to be done.
This competition, Mamashev reminds them, is not battle bots where robots fight to destroy each other. This game is as complex as cricket. A robot must basically pick up soccer balls, deposit them in something that looks like a giant clothes hamper, and then move this basket into a scoring zone. Mamashev fires off questions to the students and is met with an uncomfortable silence.
This is scary. It means we don't have thinkers. You want to go and drill holes? We need to think first.
The Roosevelt students, used to their easygoing high school teachers, seem shell-shocked. Welcome to Robot Boot Camp. For the next 2 weeks, the students talk strategy, build cardboard prototypes, and play war games. But there's a growing impatience. When do they actually get to build something? By week three, the mood is foul down in the basement lab. The team was supposed to be starting to assemble the robot, but someone forgot to order the aluminum. Viggo Hansen, a tall, skinny freshman, has been spending his evenings designing the robot.
We're a week behind, schedule-wise. Terrence almost killed himself using the chop saw. The mill is broken, and aside from that, we're okay.
Except for the bickering that seems to be breaking out in the machine room, and Professor Mamashev moping around the lab.
I am so negativistic usually, even at positive times.
The team is filled with brilliant students, but like a lot of smart people, they're used to being loners. Cliff Olmsted, one of the university students acting as a mentor, says everyone wants to push their own ideas.
We don't naturally flow. We don't naturally work well together. And so it makes it a real challenge to make everything come together.
Maybe it was this dark moment of realization. Or maybe it was the arrival of the aluminum. Whatever it was, a few days later, SWAT seems like a different team. 10 students are pressed around a table in the laboratory and moving with the precision of an emergency room staff.
Can we still get the battery in there?
I don't know. I don't think so.
The patient's actually looking like a robot now, a frame box of aluminum and wires, the big battery heart and a tiny chip-driven brain. As the robot came together, the team did too. Everyone became focused, not just on their own ideas, but on the growing hunk of metal on this table. The team wasn't just building the robot was building the team. Tonight, they promise themselves it will move. Tweaking the motors and gearbox takes hours, but finally, they pick up the skeletal beast and put it on the floor.
It moved about 2 feet, approximately in both directions.
There are no high fives, though. The robot apparently can only move in a straight line.
It won't turn.
Why not?
Too much friction in the front. We need to drive all the wheels.
And the machine is hoisted back to the operating table. In the final week, drama came by the hour. If something worked, it soon broke. The broken bits got fixed, and the whole cycle started over again, around the clock. The night before the deadline was oddly quiet, though. A few students are still working, while others sleep on the carpet in the lab, abandoned plates of half-eaten nachos on their desks. Professor Mamashev sits watch beside the robot.
They are on the verge of collapsing. They walk like zombies around. We are counting hours.
In these final days, Mamashev unveiled a secret weapon of his own, an inspirational side.
I switched from the horrible ogre yelling at everybody. I became a nice person and I fed them greasy foods.
It did the trick. The tsunami, as it's now known, looks like a little combine harvester with a big spinning mouth to gobble up balls and arms to reach out for the baskets. And there is a flash of brilliance. In order to fit into the starting zone, they've decided to start the robot standing on its end. When it tips over, it'll be low to the ground and more stable than every other robot.
1, 2, 3, go!
At the regional competition, the tsunami tips over unharmed and is already on its way across the field. Another robot that looks like a small shopping cart starts to collect balls, but the Roosevelt robot goes straight for one of the movable baskets and starts pushing it into the scoring position. It quickly becomes a tug of war, which the low, tough tsunami wins. But the other team's robots have been busy scoring themselves, and the Roosevelt High School team loses by 2 points. It's going to be that kind of day. They make it into the quarterfinals of the regionals and then lose again by a few points. The team is definitely bummed, but there are a few victories. For Warren Sent, who stuck out the 6 weeks of very little sleep, it's finally finding a passion.
I've never really been good at sports, but I have been good at technology and working with materials to build stuff. And this is the first thing that Roosevelt has offered that has actually appealed to me. It's about actually doing something that requires you to think.
And that is, after all, what the competition was designed to do. But losing still hurts. David Claussen, who is controlling the robot during the match, has the look of a quarterback who lost the big game.
They're trying to show that science and technology and engineering can be just as exciting and disappointing as sports event.
And in this case, it's the disappointment side.
In this case, it's the disappointment side, but, you know, there's still nationals where it'll be hopefully 10 times as fun and 10 times more exciting.
The team heads off this week to Orlando, Florida for the national competition. And you know what they say, on any given day, any robot can come out on top. Robert Smith, NPR News, Seattle.